It is earnings season. This afternoon, we're going to hear from Microsoft and Google. Tomorrow, it's Meta, PayPal, Spotify, Pinterest. But the two stocks that we are most interested in are both reporting on Thursday, Apple and Amazon. We are in one of those stock market cycles where good news might cause a minor rally, but bad news can cause a major crash. Just look at Tesla. They blew out earnings last week with numbers that were more than 50% higher than analysts were expecting. The stock did shoot up 10% the next day, but that's already back to where it started, and today down even more. Just imagine if they had not reported record-breaking vehicle deliveries and record-breaking profit margins. That stock could have looked more like Netflix, which reported that it lost subscribers for the first time in a decade. Their stock is down 40% since last week. Last quarter wasn't much better for them. They dropped 30% after saying subscriber growth was slowing. That is 70% of their total market value gone in 6 months. Or look at Meta. They were cut in half since last summer, down 25% after their last report. That was revealing that they had a historic drop in their daily Facebook users, which has us looking closely at our portfolios and a couple of our biggest holdings, Apple and Amazon, companies that don't seem to be losing customers, that they can be impacted by the disastrous supply chain and inflation and China lockdowns. In the past, even after great earnings, we've seen that both of these mega stocks can actually fall when there are concerns about the future. So today on Dumb Money, let's look into the future. What are we expecting from Apple and Amazon? Now, is it time to hedge? And now, will these stocks also be affecting the rest of the market today?
We are Dumb Money.
Three friends who turned $30,000 into $30 million using nothing more than Twitter and a zero commission trading account.
The suits that work on Wall Street, they call those people the smart money. That's not us.
Our goal is to help level the playing field for everyday investors.
We are Dumb Money.
Hey there, Dave here along with Chris and Jordan. We are Dumb Money. Welcome to Dumb Money Live. We are doing our best to hang in there in this market. I'm sure a lot of you are feeling the pain as well. Let's all band together and try to help others watching YouTube right now. Help them find this video. The Like Squad is doing their part this morning. You can help them by giving a gentle tap to the like button, or you can like the smash button if you prefer. Either way, we really do appreciate it. Chris, Jordan, the S&P down about 12% from its high. But the FANG stocks are doing way worse. Apple is the only one that's slightly outperformed the S&P over the past 6 months. So understandably, all eyes are on earnings this week. First off, have either of you already hedged your portfolios?
Yeah, I raised a bunch of cash earlier in the year, and so that's my biggest
hedge. Your hedge? Chris?
Yeah, Jordan, I feel like of the three of us, you're the one that was just more naturally kind of suited for this market. With your super conservative positioning, I also feel that you're the one that's probably in the best position to take advantage of what we know inevitably will be a super big opportunity at some point in the next few years. If you decide to get more aggressive, I hope you do. But guys, I've been getting so many DMs and messages and emails and calls from people just asking me, like, in desperation, like, what should I do, man? Like, everyone's in so much pain. We're all losing a tremendous amount of money. I'm losing a tremendous amount of money every single day, even though I've been hedged fairly significantly. For me, you know, Dave, over the past month I've been hedged.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. I think this is one of the most unpredictable, difficult to assess markets day in and day out that I've ever been a part of, quite honestly. I'm having this conversation every day with people. There are way more questions than answers when I try to assess, should I be long or short the market? Questions that are just incredibly difficult to answer with any sort of accuracy or confidence. And for that
long
reason,
or short or neutral, or just trying to maintain neutrality by having your long positions hedged. And I'm yet in a hedged position.
You were for a minute and you took it off. But the question I would ask you, Dave, is when you look at why the market's going up and down every day, it is almost impossible to understand what investor expectations are day to day. The things that are driving this market right now are super unpredictable. It's supply chain that we know is tough. It's inflation that we know is tough. At the same time, we are showing a lot of really interesting demand still. A lot of things are really positive on the consumer front. It's a really confusing market, and investors do not know how to react. I think one of the most important things
we've seen, even though we're at crazy high inflation rates, we just saw that the CEO of Bank of America reported that year over year, March 2022 compared to 2021, 13% higher dollar value spending, a 7.5% increase in the number of transactions. People are still buying despite prices being higher than ever, which to me bodes well for companies like Apple, because their products have always been classified as the premium price point that has, and they still have high consumer demand. But I'm a little worried about their supply chain and their ability to deliver products, because every day you go to the Apple website.
And then controlling costs are going to be a problem for a lot of companies. And so that's where you're going to see margins get squeezed. And
you said it, Dave, in the intro. We're in one of those markets where good results do not get rewarded and bad results get punished. And people are finally starting to wake up to that reality. And that's just something that you have to face that, man. I mean, this is a rough market. At the same time, we know from history that you just never really know in these markets, looking back, when was the perfect time to have kind of went in a little deeper at the bottom, right? Because you did get that bottoming out. No one expected it. We never expect it. It's always next to impossible to predict. And so all the conversation right now that I've seen amongst people I really respect is, you know, is this the bottom? Is it not? Giving case studies for why it should be close to the bottom, why they think it is, why they think sentiment showing that. I'm not buying any of it. I'm not saying they're wrong. Yeah. I think I have to admit that I do not know what I do not know, and I do not know how investors are going to continue to react to news, macro events as they're unfolding, interest rates, inflation, additional supply chain issues, or massive consumer demand and the fact that a lot of consumers do have more money in their pocket as a result of that stimulus. It seems like it was a million years ago, but the numbers don't lie. And by the way, we are also finally, and I know this seems insane to talk about this right this second, guys, but we really are, I think, starting to step into the roaring 20s that we've been talking about since April of 2020.
From an entertainment and transportation standpoint, absolutely. People are traveling and people are spending money on entertainment, but what does that mean for Apple and Amazon?
They're not just spending money on entertainment, Dave, but it's a we're talking about Amazon, we're talking about Apple. I do want to say this. I couldn't do this episode without calling our buddy Patrick right before this, whose career now is basically selling. He just sells stuff on Amazon. That's all he does, right? He's an Amazon seller. And I inquired with him. Listen, he's having the best month he's ever had, but that could be that you can't. That's not scalable. That's not representative because he deals in a handful of products. He did admit to the fact that a lot of the products, he just can't get them. He just can't get them. And I think a lot of what we'll talk about when it comes to Apple today, if you look at Apple deeply, the biggest risk factor for Apple right now, without a doubt, I don't think it's actually inflation, because unlike a lot of these other companies, Apple actually has it's some insane amount of money that is being invested, okay? Their investable account. And as those interest rates go up on their investments, they'll actually earn more to balance out the higher cost of debt. And I think last quarter, they were roughly even in terms of how much interest they were paying versus how much interest they were making. So and I think that might actually improve, because I think they have less debt than they do in terms of their investable account. So they have a lot of flexibility. So I'm not super concerned with inflation as much, but that supply chain, guys, I had one of our mods emailed us and basically said that their laptop has been delayed 3 times. And then I looked on Twitter and I've been looking, and a lot of people are saying that their Apple shipments, not necessarily for the past month, but the shipments that are supposed to come in the next few weeks, are being delayed now for the second and third time and getting pushed out to June. Like, this, I think, is probably less an issue for this quarter for Apple. My concern for Apple is this next quarter, the June quarter. I'm really concerned about supply chain. China, as we know, they have been shut down. Foxconn, I think, just again, shut down their lines at two factories in China, right?
That could be a big problem for Apple. And if you look, like, I shop Apple all the time, and I'm always in the market for something new. And I'm not even talking about their latest and greatest, the Studio product. But if you just look at their, I just put this in the cart here. Just the, one of their top sellers, MacBook Pro 14-inch. If you scroll down, they're not even promising it until June. We're in April.
Dave, that's a real problem.
And that's their anticipated delivery. We know that we've seen anecdotally people who follow our show have ordered, had these promised dates, and then they missed the date, So, like, June maybe is an optimistic date to actually get your product delivered.
That's insane. And also, Dave, China was the fastest growing geo for Apple last quarter, okay? That's where a lot of their growth was coming. China has to be, I don't know, are they better or worse off? They don't have the shipment issues, but again, if a lot of big Chinese cities are now locked down, they're probably not able to get, I mean, in a weird way, you think like maybe they care more about tech, so maybe that's actually helping the demand curve over there for Apple products. But they're probably not getting deliveries because they're not letting people. I saw video. Did you see this of people letting their dog with a rope out of their high rise building? They're lowering their dogs with a rope. It blew my mind all the way down to the ground so that their dogs can walk around and actually like go to the bathroom because they're out of like not a litter. I guess they use litter for their dogs there in apartments. Like they're out of that stuff. Like, and so they're lowering their dogs down. So I don't think they're able to actually leave their buildings in a lot of areas. It's wild. It's like back in 2020 again. Absolutely. It's not good. It's a risk. No. It's a risk factor. It's a major risk factor. But
it's
at the same
time. Definitely a risk factor. And we saw that Apple has the number one spot again. This was last quarter, but I've seen analysts saying that they're thinking that iPhone sales are going to be lower than expected. How can an analyst say something's lower than expected? They're the ones who set the expectations. But anyway, they're saying they're going to have soft sales in China this quarter. And that could be a big problem for Apple.
Okay. Also, I just lost. Oh, stronger dollar. Stronger dollar is obviously a headwind as well for margins for Apple, right? With many sales they do outside the U.S. I do have the numbers on the investment fund generated $2.8 billion in interest and dividend income, which offset the $2.6 billion in interest from the $110 billion in debt, okay? So that's something just to be aware of for Apple. That's a net positive for Apple. But guys, I can't go into Apple earnings. It's one of my largest holdings. I just can't do it this quarter without hedging. So I did hedge almost my entire I essentially hedged my entire Apple long position. I have the equivalent amount of puts. Actually, I bought a little more puts than I have stock because there's so much premium that you have to pay right now, and that's what hurts. I bought in the money puts. I think my puts are like the one. I don't know. What's the trade at? 160 right now? I think I have the 175s. I see the 165s or the 170s. I'll check here. But yep. And they expire Friday.
30.
What?
Puts are expensive at VIX 30.
They're very expensive. It hurts.
Which is why I haven't done anything, because my philosophy on Apple is even if it's painful for another quarter, another year, another 2 years, Apple's going to be one of those companies that turns around. And so, would you sell your Apple stock anytime in the next 2 years?
Or are you just putting
this margin or this hedge in place so that you're feeling a little bit better about your account balance and not just thinking about your share total count in Apple?
Dave, if I were younger and had an income, I kind of really don't have income outside of my investment.
None of us have income.
If I were younger and had income, I probably wouldn't hedge at all. I have been slaughtered so bad recently by this market that I'm at a point where I just need to do some hedging. You know that I also have a more cost-efficient hedge through shorting the SPY and shorting the Qs, which are basically just shorting the indexes that represent my portfolio. That's a way for me to hedge my portfolio without paying any premium fees, okay? And at the same time, I don't have to deal with any tax consequences, right? Because they're not similar assets, although they kind of do represent similar moves. So that's a really efficient way to hedge. But for Apple and Amazon this week, and we'll talk about Amazon, I wanted to do something that was more directly correlated to just this moment in time. And for that reason, I just couldn't stomach, I cannot stomach the thought of a massive black swan event happening to Amazon or Apple. That would destroy me. If these things got knocked 15%, right, 20%, something like that, I think it's in the cards that it could theoretically happen. I don't think that it will, but I just can't take on that risk. And the best way for me to hedge there was to buy some puts on both. Amazon, I'm only 50% hedge, not even, about 45% hedge on my Amazon long, and I'll talk about why I did that as well. But I needed to put on this hedge. It's too much risk going into this earnings week. I have to get through this week. If we can just get through this week.
But you don't think there's any realistic chance that we're going to see either Apple or Amazon have the kind of hit that we saw in Facebook or Netflix?
No, Netflix, absolutely not. I don't think, by the way, we're not financial advisors.
Like, both of those stocks,
this is what we're doing for our accounts, guys. Just not financial advice. So do your own homework and figure out your own stuff. But
Meta, Facebook was cut in half. Netflix is down 70% from its all-time high.
The problem is, I mean, those guys are shedding users, though, right? And so you start doing that, and then your growth multiplies.
And I don't see that. I just see that Apple is going to have a hard time selling, as they have a product that is in high demand, but they're going to have a hard time actually fulfilling that product right now.
Well, when was the last time they took a huge all-at-once haircut? Was it when they pre-announced, like 3 years ago?
But Dave, the stock reflects that, though. You have to understand, I agree with you that there's a lot less downside sentiment on either, for different reasons, on Apple and Amazon. But also, Apple's trading at near all-time highs. So it wouldn't be a big deal for Apple to get a 15 to 20% hit here. It's not like
Down 10% from its all-time high. So
that's
how much
in
more?
This environment. 10% in this environment is trading way up for tech stock. You know that, Dave. So Apple hasn't had its beating yet. And I'm not saying it's going to get one. But Apple has somehow figured out every quarter, they magically figure out a way to surprise us all, and pull something out of the hat. And I love Apple for it. But this quarter,
I feel like Amazon or Apple, whenever Apple has that pull something out of a hat moment where when you're not expecting it, Apple wins. When you are expecting it, and they'll still have good numbers, but then they'll say something that just freaks everyone out.
Dave,
and it's
Dave,
those calls. It's these calls that make me a little more nervous than the actual numbers.
I agree. And by the way, the market is completely psychologically prepared to beat the hell out of anything that happens to be negative. If Apple gives us anything negative, they have not given us anything negative, Dave, and they have an amazing service business, right? They have an amazing way to fight inflation with the amount of cash they have that they're actually earning more money on. We talked about that. At the same time, the supply chain, this is a company that still has an insanely big hardware business that is super exposed. They've done a great job figuring out how to beat the supply chain, right? Can they do it again? I can't take that risk. I can't do it. I can't do it, man. I just can't do it. I won't do it because I'm seeing the same thing you're seeing with these delays, and it's scaring the hell out of me. They can't be delaying those types of products for that long. I don't think it's going to hurt this quarter as much. This coming up quarter, I believe that they're going to say something in this call. There's a good chance of it. That's going to scare the hell out of people because they don't have certainty. They're going to say, basically, we don't know what the hell's going to happen this quarter. That's what's going to worry me. They're not going to say anything. Yeah. They're like, we literally don't know until this stuff gets figured out. By the way, they've done a pretty good job diversifying their supply chain, but by diversifying outside of China, but they're not there yet. They haven't fully done that yet.
Their manufacturing is a problem if we have lockdowns.
Correct. And also, guys, you know, just stuff is getting held over there, just shipments. Even though if Apple's pulling it out quicker, they might be enduring much larger cost at getting their stuff out.
If they have to put it on a airplane instead of a boat, it's going to cost more. I think they pretty much use planes anyway for Apple products.
The boat's costing more. Everything is costing more.
And the boat hasn't really improved. I saw some stat where it was like 17 days backed up or taking 17 days longer than normal, and we're down to like 14 days. It's like we have seen an improvement, but it's still so much worse than it normally is that for companies that depend on a boat to get their product from China.
I just don't think the market is going to allow Apple to stay at this ridiculously healthy level comparatively, right? If they come out and say anything negative or anything that clouds the next quarter, I think they're going to have to get their beating like everyone else. I hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, I'm prepared to take the hit with my hedge position on Apple. But by the way,
that much healthier. I mean, the market has taken a beating, driven by these big cap stocks that make up such a big percentage of the S&P 500. But all of them have been hit so hard. And for Apple to still be slightly better than the average is saying a lot for them.
It is. Can we talk about Amazon, though, for a minute? The one thing that they've had that has saved them, okay, has been AWS has just literally been that's been the savior for Amazon, right? Every quarter.
It always is.
But now we're really asking a lot at AWS this quarter, because I believe that I don't know, man. I think the retail business at Amazon this quarter is really same thing. The cost pressure. We saw that 5% hike for fuel surcharge and for inflation. I think we all know that 5% is not nearly enough to cover increase in fuel and inflation that Amazon is having to deal with. They could only push their sellers so hard. I think that is a big negative sign. You know what else I think is a huge negative, guys? Actually, do you remember that? Remember that stock split that they announced that goes into effect in June? Looking back, I'm starting to think that announcement could be a distraction announcement for Amazon to try to counterbalance the volatility that they know might be hitting their stock this next quarter. Because, you know, we saw the stock run huge on that announcement, right? But if at the same time, now if we have a really rough quarter for earnings, I feel that without the announcement, they needed to do something. It's odd timing. I thought it was odd timing for them to do that when they did. Now I'm nervous about it. I'm nervous that they did that in anticipation of wanting to counterbalance what could be a rough, rough quarter for Amazon. It's just a thesis.
Yeah.
But, and I by the way, I think stock split announcements are stupid, right? I mean, I hate them. I think we're not going to go into that again. But I'm worried about Amazon.
One thing that a company can do to put something that doesn't have actually any financial impact on the company put out there that gets people talking. And gets people thinking, oh, well, you know, if Amazon is down, a $2,800 stock that goes down 50 points sounds way worse than 10 points, right?
By the way,
I guess. But the other thing, the biggest thing that it does is it creates more liquidity in the option.
Technically, that's what it actually does.
Been trading over the past 5 years, you've got way more options trading daily than you do stock. And so it's huge for a company.
Yeah.
And it might make it worthwhile for me to write some covered calls on Amazon again, which just hasn't really been worthwhile for a while.
Yeah, I can't imagine like what would be happening at Amazon right now that would be super strong for the stock in this environment, other than AWS continuing to prize us with just massive,
but
massive
wages. AWS clients, though. Like, Zoom stock is in the toilet. Like, who's using as much data right now?
They have
been using more than they have been historically. Is there anyone who's like all of a sudden really needing extra AWS capacity?
I don't think it's about that. I think the additional client rollouts and ads that they're getting, not just Amazon, everyone, right? Amazon, Google. People were so conservative, even though during the pandemic we needed more. now that we're coming out of it, I mean, these are moves that have been pent up demand for years, and companies are fine, institutions, enterprises, governments, all the above. Like, we're right in that sweet part of the cycle still for all these cloud computing companies, and they are just still in that, they're just naturally have that tailwind, right? And so if it continues, that's a huge positive for Amazon right now. It shows that that's the only thing that could happen this quarter, I think, that could possibly be a surprise to the upside for Amazon. It makes me really nervous though, guys. I just can't do it. So I had to buy puts on my Amazon position as well, like roughly covering roughly half, almost half.
Roughly half at probably pretty close to in the money puts. Right.
They're definitely in the money puts. And also comps, I want to mention this, comps for both Apple and Amazon. I don't pay much attention to this stuff, but the market does and analysts do. They're really tough this quarter relative to last year, right? They're starting to get into tougher comps. So it's just, I don't know, got way more questions than answers. I would love to sit here and say, hey, I have the answer for Amazon and Apple earnings. I've never been more clueless. And I think it's really important for investors to recognize when they just don't know and they have to take measures to protect themselves. And again, for me, I need to protect myself. For someone else, they might be like, hey, I'm not going to play that game quarter to quarter. I know I want to be in these two stocks long term, and I don't want to do anything to take money off the table. Even if we get hit here, I don't want to mess with it because premiums are expensive. And even if you hedge with the general market, you can get caught. You see what happened yesterday with the market, how quickly it whiplashes. Who knows? Maybe Amazon AWS is super strong. Maybe Apple surprises us somehow.
So here's a couple of scenarios. Apple just blows it out, and they have yet another record revenue year, a quarter, another record earnings. Last time, what did they beat by, like 10%? Yeah, they beat 10% on earnings last quarter. What if they beat by 12% this time? Is that going to pull the whole market up, or is that just going to pull them up, or what's going to happen here?
You know what I feel like here, and at least we're admitting it? I feel like when you watch a chartist on CNBC, and they basically don't give you any position, but they try to act like they're giving you alpha. I'm not even acting like I'm giving you, like, we're giving you, this show today is to show you that we've analyzed this, we've researched the hell out of it. I spent a lot of time on this, and I walked away with very little confidence, very little alpha. By the way, I do want to say this. This is really important. I just pulled up.
I can draw some lines on these charts here. I just don't know. I mean, there's a bottom. Here's another one.
So guys, I pulled up a web stats. I pulled up web traffic on aws.amazon.com. If those of y'all that don't know, I have a subscription that I pay five figures for to be able to see this stuff year over year. And March looks really pretty darn good. It's a huge jump between February and March, but there always is. Year over year, March is up. Well, take that back. It's about flat year over year, but February was flat-ish, a little down year over year. January was actually down a tad year over year. Oh, this is kind of scary because November and December were up huge year over year in my data that I'm looking at over last November and December, but then it's not up year over year. So Dave, maybe you brought up a good point.
I'm looking at the Google Trends, which is not as expensive as yours. It's free, but this is
don't believe AWS that last overload, little thing there. That's
with,
not accurate.
Amazon Web Services and
Last drop is nothing, Dave. That you can't look.
Yep. Yeah, no. I'm just saying that this drop right here that we experienced from 2020 to late 2020, and it's.
But that is not representative, and we have to completely ignore that data because we know that data is wrong because Amazon showed insane growth in web services over that time period. So that tells me
we're
can't
not
trust
searching
that
for
data
it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody who needs to buy AWS knows where to find it, and they don't have to Google for it.
But on the web traffic data that I'm looking at, it actually shows a monstrously huge jump between October, November, December of 20 to October, November, December of 21. Huge jump. But then in January, February, March, it's essentially flat, completely flat year over year. That is a massive negative sign for me on aws.amazon.com. It's just one signal. It's one data point. I want to emphasize this, guys. We don't trade data points unless we have the context and the narrative behind them. But Dave just threw out one possible narrative. Listen, we know that e-commerce, right, is hurting. We know that a lot of potential legacy clients of Amazon potentially are hurting here very recently as we come out of COVID. By the way, I was on the first, one of the first legs flights without mask coming back from Denver. I did this amazing trip to Denver where I got to go to Red Rocks and see Wiz Khalifa and actually got to hang out with him backstage. It was absolutely wild. But I on my leg back, it was what everything we always thought of, like post-pandemic, it was like people were going on spring break and they were just on a random business flight in the middle of the day. The flight attendants were so joyous. I heard one of them say that it felt like her first day on the job again. She was like, this feels like I feel today like I felt the first day I ever got on a plane as a flight attendant. That's how joyous it was. But that just kind of shows you the sentiment towards, you know what? I'm going to go out and shop. I'm going to the mall, man. I'm going to places. Like I am more concerned about e-commerce at this very moment than I was 60 days ago because of the sentiment of people just want at this happening right at the time when the sun's coming out, right? You just want to get out. Who knows? It could be a massive negative for their legacy clients. It doesn't look great to me when I look at web traffic. Maybe I'll up my Amazon hedge a little bit more.
Maybe I'll sell all my stocks and stop being an investor. Maybe I'll sell in May and go away, and then I'll buy them again in, when am I supposed to buy them? Halloween, I think, October 31st.
I'm going to say something that's going to piss all of our... Oh, by the way, Molson Coors has saved my portfolio this year. Someone says, guys, I wish I would have held my full position in Molson Coors tap.
Are they doing
well?
Yeah,
Molson Coors is solid right now. I love it. Guys, I sold most of my Molson Coors, unfortunately, and I did not get to take advantage of a lot of the recent run-up. Let me say this, guys. I want to say something that's going to piss some people off, but I hope people take it the right way. All the pain we're going through right now. This is really bad. I know a lot of people that watch this show have real struggles, and this is just unbelievably painful for them and their families. I'm so sorry for this. Once we get through this, I don't know when we're going to be done with this, we will look back at this time as being presenting ourselves with the largest opportunity that this is everything that we dream of as investors, for the market to correct so that those of us that do have some income in their lives that can dollar cost average over time, that we could actually invest in the market and feel good about it again. There was a point last year, you know this, guys, when we all decided, we all basically said, we're going to stop pouring money into our public trades generally because it doesn't feel right. And we started investing a lot in private companies again. I invested a lot in NFTs because it just didn't, as crazy as that seems, it seemed less crazy than pouring additional money into a lot of the trades that we had been in.
I moved a bunch of money into crypto, and I saw, which has not done well, but I basically was looking for something that was an alternative to stocks. And when I look at my account balance, like my summary account balance line had this like big drop off. I actually went back and like, what in the world happened? It's because I moved $2 million out of my account over time to put into alternative investments, including startups. And way more Bitcoin and Ethereum than I need.
Yeah, but I'm starting to look at the market right now, guys, and I can I do not time the market well, and I will never try, other than a social arb event like the pandemic when that hit, I time that. But other than that, I don't time macro events like this. But I'm starting to look at some opportunities. Like I look at Coinbase right now. I look at Coinbase, and I'm like, yeah. I'm not in Coinbase. I sold a little bit that I had, and the NFT launch that Coinbase had disappointed me. It's limited in scale. Maybe it will get better, but I'm not investing in Coinbase on the launch of their NFT market anymore. I do not have a confidence that it's a game changer for that company like I anticipated it might be. But I'm looking at Coinbase and I'm thinking, man, these guys are making investments for the far off future. And if crypto ends up being even half of what we think it might be for the next 20 years, if blockchain and NFTs and this whole world changes the way I anticipate it will, Coinbase is going to be one hell of a bellwether anchor company to invest in, a company that's highly profitable, a company that is in the process of getting into subscription products. You know that they're testing $25 a month for all the crypto trading you want.
It's a subscription with free trades after that. And I don't know how what they're really doing, because there's still potential for making a profit on the spread.
I'm just saying, guys, I wish I had a real job right now. I wish I had a job where people were just paying me money and I had some extra income. I mean, listen,
it's a very good job market. If you wanted to go get a job right now, you could.
So I am actually focused right now on a few things for cash flow. I have my restaurant. We're looking at expanding our restaurant. We're looking at also Collecticon, which I'm a big have a big part in Collecticon. Our ice cream venture, I hope that ends up being a big cash flow.
Forward to the ice cream store opening.
Yeah, where can I, but that's kind of designed as kind of a hybrid cash flow venture / venture scalable business, kind of the hybrid. I'm like, where can I start making real money this next year to where every month I have some extra cash to put into some of the things that I love? Because guys, I'm telling you, I mean, Jordan, even you, as conservative as you are, you have to be looking at some of this stuff right now and just being like, you've got to be thinking about getting more aggressive at some point in the future, right? At these valuation levels.
So, I mean, everything that I've done is purely tactical. I could kind of see, I saw this coming, and so I sold a bunch of stock, right? And I didn't do that just to hold cash. I did it for opportunities that will come down the line. This is what you do. I didn't sell everything. I'm still like 70% invested.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we just had an amazing Twitter Spaces on Lithium America. You know, it's one of my largest positions. I'm still a little nervous short term that Elon's going to come out and say, I'm definitely getting into the lithium business. I don't think that's a negative for LIC, but the market seems to think it is. And if he actually does that, I could see Lithium America falling even harder than it fell already. So, like, I'm a little nervous about the next few months, but it's still, that's a company I kind of would like to own some more of. I really would. I want to be in heavier in that company prior to August when we get closer to that possible.
Yeah, I think we get out of this quarter and some of this madness that's going on in the stock market, and I think, I mean, I would love to go pretty heavy into LAC.
But Jordan, don't you think
they're pre-revenue, and so you get people that are getting dunked on in the rest of their portfolio, and that's a place that they can go and raise some cash because they're up huge. And so, you know, I think that, you know, I hope that there's some better opportunities between now and when they actually start generating revenue.
Yeah, I do want to mention something, because I don't know how many shows we'll have between now and Saturday. Guys, I know you'll want to know about me and ApeCoin. Yes, ApeCoin is now one of my largest positions, period. I'm talking about between all my invests. How crazy is that? If you combine ApeCoin and my Bored Ape NFT together, it could be my number one position right now in the entire stock market. And for those of y'all don't know, Yuga Labs is launching the Other Side Metaverse. When I say launching, they're basically gonna basically sell some NFT that will represent some future purchase of land on Saturday, I think at 12 noon. So I completely went in heavier than on that position. I've been adding to that position. So far, so good. I think we're at like, it came down a little bit in the last 6 hours with the stock market, but it was like hovering above $18, ApeCoin, which is incredible. And my thesis thinks it takes us a lot higher between now and Saturday. That's my thesis. I'm not a financial advisor. Please, this is crypto, guy. This is like the crypto of the metaverse. Is there anything riskier? I don't even know of anything riskier. So do not take that as financial advice, but I am really heavy in ApeCoin. It's a risk I'm willing to take. And I'm really looking forward to Saturday. By the way, if I don't like what I see on Saturday, I might just sell all of my ape on Saturday. I could sell 100% of it if I don't. When this announcement comes out, if the reaction to it is negative or falls flat, I will be out of that ape coin so quick.
I can't believe you have such a big percentage of your net worth in a fake monkey money that is all riding on fake monkey land that is maybe going to be cool or maybe not, and you have to decide whether or not to keep your monkey money after they show you what their land actually looks like. Although it kind of seemed...
It's highly strategic, and I will say I am going to do a Twitter Spaces at some point this week with New Street, which is a company that me, Dave, and Jordan helped. We were the foundational capital of, and the New Street Twitter account. What is their Twitter account, Dave? It's NEUSTREET, right?
I was just
right?
going
New
to
Street.
Their website to see if I can
I think it's NEUS or NUE. I should be able to say spell out the name of our company.
here's how to spell the name of the company.
Yeah. So we are going to do what I think is going to be an amazing Twitter Spaces this week on the New Street Twitter account. I don't have a firm time and date about the other side and about ApeCoin going into this weekend, and I can't wait to do it. This is an area I'm really passionate about. I know I'm freaking crazy, but it's going to be a fun one, guys. And I know I don't want to get the sentiment up too much, Jake. So we're all hurting. By the way, I lost a crazy amount of money today, guys, just like you. I'm actually starting to legitimately hurt, like legitimately really hurting with this market, guys. Dave, you're not doing well either. I mean, you got to be hurting too.
No, this is not fun and games.
No, this is not fun and games. That's why I need ApeCoin to like. Otherwise, I just would cry all night.
Another $500,000 today almost.
Dave, stop! I can't listen to that. That's way more than me.
Well, yeah, because you have a short on the SPY and these puts in place.
Yeah.
Stocks that are... Like, when Tesla goes down 10%, almost 11% now, that kills my portfolio.
Half of
my losses are Tesla right now.
I love Tesla long-term more today, I told you this, than I ever have. Short-term, not so sure about anything. Long-term, I really do like Tesla right now. By the way, you know what else I kind of like, Dave? And I'm not a Bitcoin guy. You know that. I'm not a Bitcoin guy. I'm not a major Bitcoin guy. I'm kind of starting to like the idea of Bitcoin right now at these levels for the long term, too. I feel like this everything's just lining up for Bitcoin at some point here. I know you were too early on your move.
I've been saying that for a long time, though. It's not a short term. I don't put money that I need into Bitcoin. I put money that I think... will be worth more in the future.
But if
it goes to zero, I'm still okay. That's my rule on Bitcoin.
By the way, guys, someone's asking about Google. I just want to apologize. I only researched Apple and Amazon going into this episode, guys. It's just there's a lot going on this week. I'm really focused on some NFT stuff, and I wanted to do my work on Amazon and Apple. I almost think like that other episode we're going to do later this week, guys, the Snapchat anti... That storyline that's connected to Snapchat, but not about Snapchat. I don't even know if it's appropriate this week with everything going on in the market.
Yeah, I think there's too much going on. We can talk about that.
Maybe we'll do that next. I'll just say this.
I think we could do, if you want to do, if you want to listen to the earnings call, we could live stream and react to that for both of the stocks that we're talking about, because they're both on the same day after hours.
Are they both on the same day? Are they both Thursday?
Yes, they're both Thursday. Well,
let me check my schedule. Let me check my schedule first.
And I saw someone asking how much I've down year to date, which this includes money that I have taken out of my account.
Oh God, I don't even want to know. Dave, I'm going to throw up if you tell me. It hurts me more for some reason when you tell me how much you lost than me, because I know I have I'm so used to losing massive amounts of money.
I'd have to go through and do a better job of, for a year to date number. I have to do a better job of like figuring that out. Figure out when I took money out, because I've taken a bunch of money out, $1 million to move into Bitcoin and other things, nearly $500,000 to invest in a little startup venture. It just seems like I think I calculated it took about $2.5 to $3 million out of the portfolio, but if I hit year to date just on this quick summary, it shows that I'm down 3.2. But if you back out 2.9 of that being taken out for other purposes, that's far less pain.
I have
those other purposes are basically worth nothing until they become worth something, right? A startup doesn't mean anything until it's actually something.
Guys, I am down so much. I'm not... My latest Crocs investment, I'm destroyed in that Crocs investment. My latest Crocs investment, I really got hit hard on that one. So I'm so happy that I did clean out my portfolio a couple months ago. Just went through and sold almost everything that I didn't have some level of conviction in.
I sold half of my Crocs thinking that it had already gone down so much and I like them for the long term. But I guess foam shoes are just no longer the thing.
Okay, I want Eric asked a great question that I do not want to answer on this episode because I really want to spend some time and give you a really quality answer. Which are the best stocks to buy if the stock market trades sideways for the next 1 to 2 years? That is an awesome, awesome question. Dave, can we do an episode? Let's do a sideways that market episode.
Yeah, that's a full episode. You want to do that this week?
Maybe. Yeah, I just want to make sure I have time to research. But yeah, that is a great question.
We can do it next week. I'll put that. I'm going to slate that for everybody who keeps a calendar of Dumb Money episodes so that they can watch along at home. I'm going to put that on my calendar for the 3rd.
Yeah, I love that. That's where my head is kind of there. But you know where else my head... My head is also like... At some point, I'm going to be willing to, like, I think in a sideways market, I'm okay making some big bets on rebound stocks that I really believe in, like Coinbase, maybe like Tesla, stocks like, quite honestly, if Amazon and Apple do get punished here, stocks like, you know, Amazon and Apple, like at some point tech, like at some point, listen, Shopify.
Right now, you have to also not fight the Fed. The Fed is going to stop inflation at all costs to your personal portfolio.
Yes.
You have to realize that that is his job. His job is to screw your portfolio to get prices down. That's all he cares about. He wants to screw you to get prices down.
That's
his job. And right now, I'm looking at my portfolio going, why am I in these stocks at all when I know that... All he's doing is trying to make those stocks go down, unofficially.
I want to leave with one other thing, and this is the bearish bull who has a ton of cash like Jordan, and he's waiting. He's like, when do I go in? My philosophy, my general philosophy.
You, you go in when the Fed's not tightening into a slowing economy, right? And so when you start looking at the economy actually growing again, the last that I've heard from the Atlanta Fed is that they're expecting 0% GDP growth here, right? And so that's a big problem when you're tightening.
But also, Jordan, here's my only issue with that. And I think you have a valid point. But if the entire market, and I'm not saying they are, but if the people that move this market are thinking like what you're thinking, then what naturally is going to happen is those same people or other people are going to try to front run that.
No, you front run it, right? So, but you have to see some light at the end of the tunnel, right? And so is it 3 months out? So you start looking at forward earnings evidence that these guys are going to put out at the end of next quarter, right? Because this quarter, you know, they're going to still have maybe okay earnings, but they'll guide down, right? Because they've got, like you mentioned, the comps. So people are going to have almost impossible comps coming out of last year. And so next quarter, you're going to have the actual bad quarters, but maybe they start to guide a little bit better because they're coming out of they're coming at better comps for Q3. And so that's something to look forward to.
Jordan, can we have another standalone? Listen, I think rather than us doing social arb episodes, which are very tough right now in this environment, we've said that we can't trust we can't trust demand data if the market's moving on supply chain data and inflation. But Jordan, can we have a standalone episode on that? When do we get back in? How do we get back in? It's a really important question. I have Brian Alves. I have not seen the Las Vegas travel data, but I have concerns with Vegas. I was there multiple times recently and major concerns about Vegas only because they're not getting the corporate convention traffic back yet. And that's what all of Vegas is about right now. So it's very concerning still for Vegas. But there's an article, Dave, that is like literally, it's your, remember I sent it to you maybe a few weeks ago? It's about your triple leverage.
Triple leverage.
This study, guys, I'm not going to reveal too much, but we have a study that recently came out on the, this is kind of like Dave's dream study on his triple leverage ETF. I think it's actually fascinating. I used to think Dave was a nutball when he used to talk about this triple leverage ETF, because everybody tells you don't ever be in it for the long term, ever, ever, ever.
You have to click a bunch of boxes agreeing that you know that this is not something you're supposed to hold overnight.
But there is a study that proves otherwise, and I want to do a standalone episode because I know Dave is going to be so excited to do it, about this study on triple leverage ETFs, because that, for some people, that might just be one of the most interesting ways to trade coming out of this environment.
But I
for
almost
the next
think,
few
yeah,
years.
That's not... I'm second guessing my own, even though I've seen the data, I'm second guessing being in a triple leveraged ETF while the Fed is tightening. It's almost like you don't want to time the market, but what if you just rely on one piece of data? What is the Fed doing? Has that interest rate gone up or down?
When someone says, okay, you guys are saying Vegas is booming in the content. Here's my issue with that. And this is where you have to be really careful as an investor. When someone says Vegas is booming, that might, and I'm saying that 100% that this is right, but that might be because people that we know are going to vacation, are vacationing in Vegas on the weekends, and they're like, the casinos were 100%. It was like post-COVID. It was a party. It was insane. There were lines outside of every restaurant and club. And yes, that might have been true on Friday and Saturday nights, but the other five nights that are normally at 70 to 80% capacity, when it's pure convention business that Vegas makes an insane amount of money off of, it's those are 35%, right? And that is you're not maybe seeing that because your friends and all the people are saying Vegas is booming on Twitter and Instagram are there on Friday and Saturday nights for a bachelor party or whatever. Like, it just, you have to be really, really careful when it comes to Vegas and Vegas. I'm not saying that they're not starting to see conventions starting to come back. Maybe there's some lights at the end of the tunnel here. But when I was in Vegas, I would interview everyone I spoke to about this. And they were all the Uber drivers, the dealers, right? Like the people at restaurants, the host. And they were all telling me, they're like, dude, they're like, we're not even making enough money to pay our rent now. Like, it's crazy. They were like, and the issue is, you know, there's a lot of business in Vegas. I never realized this, that comes from people that work in Vegas. So a lot of those people that go out on the weeknights are actually in those casinos and spend money on dinners and gambling and club. All those are people that work in Vegas. And those people are not doing well enough to spend money. They're doing well enough to basically just get by, but they're not doing well enough to go out and do all the stuff they used to do, service industry type. So I think the Vegas story is a little bit more difficult to understand, but we'll see. I love Vegas and I hope it comes back really hard. I fully believe in my rebound story for travel. I bought more booking.com right before the market started going down. Okay. That was not a good timely purchase, but I did buy more booking.com. And I'll probably buy more booking.com. That's one of those stocks I'll just continue to buy more, because these are things that I have a lot of confidence, a lot. So, all right, guys. I'm sorry for y'all that are losing a lot of money. We're there with you. Sometimes there's no easy way out. Sometimes there's no information we can give you to, like, I don't know of any way to confidently make money in this market. My best idea right now is to try to survive this, to try to reduce the amount of money we lose every day, so that when we do get to a better point, we have some money left for what I think is going to be one hell of a five-year cycle. And by the way, everyone that's like poo-pooing, like, this is it, we're screwed forever because of all the money we printed and all this stuff. I had this talk with Lynn yesterday. He gets nervous. You know, he gets nervous when this stuff happens. I there's one thing that Elon said that I think was so prolific and correct, which was this. This is not exactly how he said it, but he was basically saying that this new era of robotics and automation and all this stuff, it's going to have a profound impact on our economy. in just in amazing ways. And it's going to take away jobs. And so I know that sounds bad, but our standard of living and the amount of resources and the efficiency and productivity that's going to enter the business cycle is going to be unlike anything that we've ever seen. It's going to be similar to the technology revolution and maybe way, way bigger. The only way that you benefit from that, unfortunately, is by being in the investor class. And that's why we do this show. This show is literally to inspire people to become part of the investor class, because I think if you are not part of the investor class this next cycle, the next 5 to 15 years, when automation and AI and robotics starts to hit every single industry sector in the world, oh my gosh, you might just have to resort to living off of universal income from the government, which, by the way, for a lot of people is going to be cool, but like, you're either going to be part of the investor class and you are going to be really well off as a result of it, or you're not, and your job is going to be at risk, or like your dude, it's where that ends. Like, I don't know, but I have never felt more confident about being part of the investor class than going into the next cycle, whenever the hell it starts. It could be a year or two away, right?
We just have to survive the downtrend. And I just want to, before we head out, I want to point out two comments that I thought were really interesting. This one, the mantra was don't fight the Fed all the way up. Now the Fed reversed and the mantra is the same. Don't fight the Fed. The marker is a tide. His tide is going out. The best trade is no trade. And then the other one, Lisa Autry says, Chris, the Fed wants you to get a job. That's dumb money.
I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my life right now. I'm literally like, I don't have no job pays me a salary, but like I have 4 sources of income that I'm having to work my butt off to get to a point to where the income starts coming in. And one of those is the ice cream venture. I'm so excited, guys. We're on schedule for July opening in New York. Dude, there's so many exciting things.
We'll do the show live from there, or at least I'll be there.
Dave will be there. I won't be there for the grand opening, I don't think. I'm traveling. All right, guys, thank you. Can you give us a thumbs up before you leave, please?
Please do.
And follow the New Street Twitter account. Can everybody follow the New Street Twitter account so you know when we're going to do this Twitter Spaces about ApeCoin and the other side, which, I don't know, it might be a complete flop, but it might be one of the most interesting things to happen in the NFT space ever to date, like this Saturday. Like, it's actually, in a few days, might be the biggest event to ever past.
Did you
future.
Ever start that Metaverse channel that you were going to start? Because that's where you should be live streaming on Saturday.
So what I decide to do, Dave, for the benefit of our company, is to do regular, we're gonna do Twitter Spaces for Dumb Money content on our Twitter account. And for NFT stuff, I'm going to be doing Twitter Spaces maybe as often as weekly on the New Street Twitter account, talking about NFTs and talking about everything metaverse related, which is about 35 to 40% of my day right now, my life. So yeah, so follow New Street's Twitter account and tell them you're excited to join from the Dumb Money crew and give us a thumbs up before you leave. And we'll talk to you. We'll do something this week, later this week. Sure.
If we might be live streaming the earnings announcement, we're definitely going to do something. And we have a lot of shows planned for next week. So if you're not subscribed yet, now's the time to do it. We're Dumb Money. We will see you.
Go Mavs! Let's go.